Our preacher tonight is Brother Michael Talley, our missionary to Germany, and I'm excited to hear what the Lord has laid on his heart. He said he had it narrowed down to two messages. I liked them both, so maybe he'll preach them both. How about that? We'll see. But anyway, don't forget there'll be a love offering at the conclusion of the service. Brother Talley, you come and preach to us. Amen.
But then he said the love offering was at the end of the service. And so that idea kind of went out the window there. If you have your Bibles, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to be looking at the call of Jeremiah and seeing how that the same God who called Jeremiah is still calling people today.
Amen.
When I read about the call of Jeremiah and think about the call in my own life, I see a lot of similarities there. I was reading a book when I was in college, Bible college. It was a missions textbook by J. Herbert Kane. And this book was almost enough to make me not want to be a missionary because it was very hard reading. But in this book, he said that he did not believe that there was a such thing as a missionary call. And that's a whole another sermon. I've got that one in here too, but we will skip that one. But we find over and over in the Word of God that God does call people. And some people he calls to Germany. Some people he calls to right where you are. But the three callings, and that's that other sermon, the call to salvation, the call to service, and then the upward call at the rapture. Everybody's all excited about the first one and the third one, but nobody wants to think about that one in the middle.
Right.
But if you've been called to salvation and you expect to be called in the rapture, you've also been called to service. And so we're going to look at the call of Jeremiah. We'll begin reading in verse 4, and we'll read through verse 10. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage here tonight and as we think about some of the other calls that we find in the Word of God, Lord, I pray that you'll help us all to understand that you have called us, and that's what you saved us for, is to serve you, that you might get the glory. And Lord, I pray that each of us will see and understand how it is that we have been called and what it is that you would have us to do. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 4 again, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying," the word of the Lord came. Well, what is it talking about when it says the word of the Lord came? John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So I want to ask you a question. Who appeared to Jeremiah? It was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That makes this a Christophany, if anybody's just really interested in those kind of words. It means a appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Think of that. The word of the Lord made the heavens and then appeared to Jeremiah, who was just a child. Psalm 33, verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Do you think that God has ever made a mistake in calling someone to serve? Right, and all his works are done in truth. And I believe that applies to the call of Jeremiah, but I believe it also applies to the call of me to go to Germany and the call of your pastor to come here to this church. God never makes mistakes. It says, "The word of the Lord came." That's something you don't read a whole lot in the Bible. You do find it a few times that the word of the Lord came. The first time that we read that, it's Abraham that he came to. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So the word of the Lord came to Abraham. The first thing he says, "Fear not." And I suppose that he said something very similar to Jeremiah, even though Jeremiah did not record those particular words. Just imagine the word of the Lord comes to you. Naturally, the first thing you would experience would be fear. Well, the next time we find the word of the Lord coming to someone, it was Samuel. So it's actually quite a bit later in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." You see, in that time period, there wasn't anyone who was standing up and saying, "The word of the Lord came unto me," saying, there wasn't any prophets that were going about preaching the word of God. And so when he came to Samuel, it was something special. 1 Samuel 3, verse 19, it says, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." And so here we have another picture of Christ coming in person to call someone into his service. Jeremiah's call, as we read it here in this passage, resembles that of Moses and Isaiah and Ezekiel. Moses, remember as a little child, I saw the movie Ten Commandments. And Charlton Heston, everything being Moses, I still, when I read Moses and think about the holy ground there, I think of that, and the burning bush. Well, the Lord God spoke to him from the burning bush. It was a spectacular thing. Both Isaiah and Ezekiel saw into the throne room of God in heaven as they heard the voice of the Lord speak to them. And we read Ezekiel, and we read about this wheel that he saw, and what is that wheel? And I've heard all kinds of speculation as to what that wheel is. But he was looking into the throne room. And so whatever he saw, it was round. Okay? More than that, I don't know. But he saw the same thing that Isaiah saw, and they both saw the same thing that later John saw, and he described it different. So we have three different descriptions, and I believe that Jeremiah saw the exact same thing that each of them saw. But for whatever reason, Jeremiah chose not to talk about it. He didn't tell us about all the different things he's seen. Instead, he told us about what he heard. The word of the Lord came unto him. Verse number 5, the Lord said to him, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." There are three verbs in this verse that are really important. The Lord said, "I knew you." And he said, "I sanctified you." And he said, "I ordained you." Three different words. Very important, these words. First, he said, "I knew you." This is a verb that means a very close personal relationship. To explain just how close this relationship is, the first time we find this verb in the Bible is Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, where it says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain." So the Lord said to Jeremiah, "I had a very close personal relationship with you before you were ever born." In Ezekiel it says, "All souls are mine." Jeremiah was a soul, and God knew him before he was ever formed. And the same thing is true about each and every one of us. God knew us before we were ever formed. Then the second word is sanctified, and it means to be set apart and to be consecrated. We find this verb in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, where it says, "And God blessed the Sabbath," or the seventh day, "and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." He made this seventh day as a day of rest, and he sanctified it. He set it apart to be different from all other days. It was a holy day. And God said, "I did the same thing with you, Jeremiah. You're different from all other people because I have sanctified you." The third verb is the verb ordained, and it means to appoint for a certain task. You see, you never sanctify someone and then just leave them sitting there as sanctified. You sanctify them, and then you give them a specific task to do. So he said, "I sanctified you, and then I ordained you." And again, we find this word used for the first time in Genesis. It's in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16 through 18. It says there, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness." Where it says God set them, that is the same word used in Jeremiah as ordained. God set them in the firmament, and he gave them a specific thing to do. And that's what they did. And he did the same thing with Jeremiah. He ordained him. He gave him a specific task. He says, "I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Well, then Jeremiah begins to do the same thing that we tend to do. He began to make excuses why this would never work. Verse 6, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, but I cannot speak, for I am a child." Okay, I cannot speak. He said, "I'm inadequate. I'm inadequate to do that you are asking me to do. And I have no experience." Well, I think we all kind of start out that way. We all start out with no experience. But human inadequacy and inexperience, those open the door for divine empowerment. Because if you can't do it, then he can. And if you can't do it, you are a perfect candidate for him. Because if you do it on your own, then you get the glory. If he does it through you, then he gets the glory. And so Jeremiah was actually the perfect candidate. And he didn't realize that when he began making excuses, was that his excuses was actually the things God needed to know that Jeremiah felt about himself so that he could actually be used. Well, we find Moses making a similar excuses in Exodus 4 and verse 10. It says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my God, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses made similar excuses to Jeremiah. I can't. God said, yes, you can. Isaiah chapter 6, we find Isaiah making very similar excuses. Isaiah says in Isaiah 6 verse 5, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Doesn't matter what your excuse is. The Lord has the answer. And He can use you if you'll just, as Isaiah did, say, Here am I, Lord, send me. Well, God answered Jeremiah's objections in three different ways. First, in verse number 7, it says, But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. The first way that God answered Jeremiah's excuse was that he stressed that Jeremiah would be acting under his authority. God said, I'm giving you the authority, and so you can go because I'm sending you. You have authority because I'm giving it to you. Well, do we have anything like that in the New Testament that applies to us? Yes, we do. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He said, Go. All power is given unto me. So go in my name. Go and teach in my name. Baptize in my name. We can go because He's given us the authority. We are going in His authority. And that's what He said to Jeremiah. That was the first thing. Then second, in verse 8, he stresses that Jeremiah would be acting under his protection. He said, Be not afraid of their faces, for lo, I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, this is a case where I can really relate to Jeremiah, because I remember it at the age of 12 when I felt the Lord was calling me into the ministry. And I remember laying there in my bed and saying, Lord, if you want me to do this, you're going to have to do it, because there is no way that I can stand up in front of people and look and see their faces. You know, I learned much later that the thing that makes speaking possible and that actually makes it easier is when you look into the people's faces. When you can find one person in the crowd that is listening to every word you say, and they're agreeing with you or disagreeing even, or somehow they are expressing some kind of emotion, that gives you energy. And so he said, don't be afraid of their faces. Now think about whose faces he was going to be seeing. He was going to be speaking before the king. That wasn't going to be easy. The Lord said, hey, don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee. We think of the situations that Jeremiah was in. The Lord definitely fulfilled His promise. Jeremiah was thrown into a dungeon. He didn't have any friends. He didn't have anybody that was going to help him. But God sent somebody, and they pulled him up out of the dungeon and set him back on his feet, and he continued to go and to preach the Word of God, because God promised him. He said, I'm going to protect you. Psalm 23 says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to notice three things from that psalm. First is at the beginning of the psalm, it says twice, he leadeth me. If he's leading me, where is he? He's out in front. And then in the middle of the psalm, it says, for thou art with me. So he's leading me. That means he's out in front, but he's also with me right here where I'm at. And then later it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. He's got my back. He's leading me. He's here where I am. He's got my back. He is able to deliver me no matter what the situations are. So I should not be afraid of their faces. And then in verse 9, we find the third way he answers them, and that is that he gives him the very words that he is to speak. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. He gave him the very words he were to say. You say, well, does that happen to you? Yes, it does. Maybe not necessarily like you're thinking. There's two different ways that the Lord gives me the words that I am to speak. First, through the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12, verse 11 to 12, it says, and when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. So the Holy Spirit leads me and helps me know what to say. Does that mean I get fresh inspiration all the time? No, that's not what it means at all. I'll give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. We have a young man that has attended several of our Bible studies. He is interested in religion. He's not interested in the Bible. He's very interested in religion. And so he watches YouTube videos to find out what to believe about the Bible. Instead of reading the Bible, watches a YouTube video. You can imagine some of the things that he comes up with. It's some pretty strange things. And every time I come, he has a long list of questions. Things, he saw this in a YouTube video. And so now I have to answer it. The first time he came, he had this long list of questions, and he asked one question after another, and for 2 hours, I answered questions. I quoted verses that I was translating from English into German in my mind as I was giving him that, and not one time did I ever have to stop and say, wait a minute, I'm not sure. I'm going to have to get back to you. Do you know why? Because of the other method through which the Lord puts words in our mouth. And that is through the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Years ago, I had to read a book by Spurgeon for one of my courses called Lectures to My Students. And in that book, he said, if you spend the week studying the Scriptures and your cup is full, he said, when you get up to speak, you don't even have to have an outline. He said, you don't need anything. All you need is a cup that is full. And if your cup is full, it'll flow over and the people will be blessed. Now, does that mean you shouldn't have an outline? Apparently not. I have one. I have before preached without an outline. In one particular case, some of you might appreciate this church. The first time I met the pastor, it was at a different church. And in that church, the pastor preached for 2 hours on Sunday morning. And this guy loved it. And he asked me to come speak at his missions conference. And the main speaker for the week was that pastor who had preached for 2 hours. And so I thought, this is going to be a long missions conference. If this pastor preaches 2 hours every night, and then he has a lot of missionaries. Well, I got there and found out he had service in the morning and in the evening. So he had two services every day. And he had told me in advance he wanted me to speak on faith promise. And so Monday I get there and he says, I want you to speak first. And I said, do you want me to speak now on faith promise or some other time? He said, come back tonight and do that tonight. He said, right now just preach something else. So I preached and I knew that they were expecting it to be a couple hours. So I had two sermons on prayer and I preached them back to back as if it was one sermon. I've come back that night, preached that night, and after that service, he said, Michael, for the rest of the week, I want you to be our Bible teacher. Something about the way that I speak, he just thought I would make a good Bible teacher. This was at the beginning of our ministry. I didn't have but maybe three or four sermons total that I had prepared. And I had preached two of them the first service. And so I had to preach the rest of the week. So one night on the way home, I'm quoting Psalm 1 to myself from beginning to end. I lived about an hour away. All the way home, I quoted Psalm 1 and thinking about all the different things that it means. On the way back the next morning, I was doing the same thing. And I got in the pulpit and preached for 2 hours from Psalm 1 without an outline. Why? Because the Holy Spirit took that with which I had filled myself in memorizing that passage as a child. And he just told me what to say. And that's the way that it works. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You say, I could never get up in front of people. I don't know what I would say. Well, don't worry about the getting up in front of people. Start reading God's Word and let Him give you something to say. And when you have something to say, getting up and saying it won't be a problem. In fact, my guess is that everyone in here have people sitting near you who could testify that you're very good at speaking your mind when you have something to say. So get something to say from the Word of God and then pray that He will give you an opportunity to use it. The last verse, verse number 10, it says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. This passage here, we have six verbs that are used, and they are used in a kind of a unique form. Something that was a form of rhetoric that was used very often. That is, the first verb and the last verb go together. So we're going to look at it this way. The first and the last verb paints a picture of a farmer. Jeremiah's work was to be like the work of a farmer. And what's he to do? He's to root out and to plant. I don't know how many of you here are farmers. We had a politician before, not too long ago, that seemed to think he knew everything about farming. He said, you just dig a hole and you stick a seed in it and corn grows. Okay, I don't think he is a farmer. I don't think he knows anyone who is a farmer. I have a brother who's a farmer down in Alabama. And he's also a preacher, but he's a farmer. And he rented a bulldozer, and I always wanted to drive a bulldozer. I thought that would be a lot of fun. And so I went out there and I was pushing down pine trees that were this big around so that he could plant something. Now that was with a bulldozer. If I didn't have a bulldozer, how much work would it take to root out that pine tree? Now in Germany, they cleared a field there close to us where we lived and they used an excavator. And I've never seen anything like this. They had some claws on the front of that thing and they would grab the trees, pull them up by the roots, and then stick them into this other machine that then shredded it into little bitty chips. And I couldn't believe that they had the technology to do all that. But just think, in Jeremiah's day, you had to do all that work by hand. You had to root out so that you could then plant. So the idea here is that you're going to spend more time rooting out than what you're going to spend planting. It is a lot of work. And then the second picture is the picture of a builder. And in this case, we actually have four verbs. The first three kind of go together, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. And then the fourth verb is to build. In other words, you're going to spend three times as much time tearing down so that you can build. I'm sure that sometimes some of you have been sitting out there and you've been hearing your preacher and you say, all he does is he tears us down. Well, see, three-fourths of his job, that's what it is. He's got to tear down so that he can build. So just wait. Just be patient and just wait. The building is going to come. So that's the way it was for Jeremiah. God said, hey, Jeremiah, I've got a lot of work for you to do. It's going to be hard work, like the work that a farmer does. And it's going to be work like a builder, where you're going to spend a lot of time and you're going to get done at the end of the day and you're going to say, I don't think I accomplished much today. But then eventually, the time's going to come to build. And then that's when you'll see the fruit of your labor. In due season, you'll reap if you faint not.